when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
I thought I watched this movie.
I did too.
Before. I did not. I have never, ever seen this. Apparently, you haven't either. We both really thought that we did, and we didn't. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I had no clue how this would follow up with Night of the Living Dead.
So it wasn't completely a blind viewing of this movie, because I've seen YouTubers talk about this movie. It's a well talked about film. It's very hard to avoid because I enjoy watching people who cover horror and predominantly horror type things. You know, this is one of those films that gets talked about. So I didn't necessarily get all of it spoiled. I have to say that I enjoyed myself. Mm-hmm. There were scenes in this movie that I had no idea about, and there were certain scenes that I've seen before. I'm not gonna lie about it. I'm not gonna bullshit you. I'm gonna be very truthful with the audience because that's what they deserve.
You know, there would be protests. They would take to the streets otherwise. If they leaked your YouTube history, good God, we would be dead tomorrow morning.
I mean, if they leaked my cookies,
the FBI would be knocking at your door tomorrow. a conversation for another time. So I thought at the beginning, I mentioned briefly that I really had this idea that zombie movies evolved. Mm. We started with the bare bones, and we got to a really nuanced place where, like, The Walking Dead premiered the idea that survivors would fight survivors. That is so not true. Like, everybody from the beginning of this genre was totally capable of having these great ideas about if there was this zombie outbreak, institutions would break down. They wouldn't communicate with the people. The people wouldn't be the priority. Safety would not be the priority. Rich would look out for on their own. People involved at higher echelons of government and social life would look out for their own. Everybody else would be left to die, and it was a free-for-all. That is, from the beginning, they had all that down. We do see elements of, like, survivors fighting each other, being at each other's throats because of circumstance. All of it was there, and that makes me look at kind of newer holy grails of zombie films a bit differently, because so much of it isn't, like, the distilled version of what the zombie genre can be. We already got those. Night of the Living Dead is masterful. That movie was wonderful. And this was like almost like an early Shaun of the Dead. Like, it was funny, it was dark, and it was humorous, and everything in it was so great. And it even had a little bit of a message so film critics could have an excuse to watch it and love it. Like, all of it felt so perfect. And it was ambitious. It was long. This is a very long movie with a huge budget, obviously, with what we see go down in it. I was really enthralled by it the whole time. And I think you'll see that if you watch our reaction on our Black Lagoon Reacts channel. It was a fun movie that refused to fall into the individual survivor tropes that probably didn't really exist back then. But it was about a lot more than a guy boards up a house and tries to live.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So, there are three versions of this movie. There is the theatrical cut, which is an hour and 30 minutes. There is the, what George Romero says is the definitive edition, which is like the one that we watched, which you have to watch it, obviously, because it's, you know, George Romero says, this is the movie you need to watch, then you fucking watch it. You listen to George Romero, god damn it. Or you're getting put in timeout. No, but so that version's over 2 hours long. And then there's the Dario Argento Italian cut, which is a complete tonal shift from what I have read. It is more fast-paced and action-oriented than what we got.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that has been, like, cut out, and it's all just in front of your face over-the-top action.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I could see cutting things here and there can completely change the way the film is viewed.
Yeah.
100%. And honestly, I have no problem with this movie being the length that it is. I think that it was perfect. It had its moments where you get these personal moments with the survivors, mm-hmm. trying to, you know, survive and live their life in a mall, all while being surrounded by gluttony and greed, I would say.
And two really interesting antagonists for a zombie movie, where, you know, Night of the Living Dead was scavenging for anything. You fought for every inch of everything you got. In this movie, you were overwhelmed with luck and coincidence and everything you could ever need. Military-grade weapons, helicopters with a full tank of gas, right? Food everywhere. Electricity, no problem. Water, no problem. Safety. Dumb zombies. And slowly, the intensity ratchets up, and it becomes too much. And the things that they're subsisting on, they don't even want anymore. It's such a great, smart idea for the zombie film to give them everything instead of nothing and have them still kind of want to reject it. And you were talking earlier about the cuts of the movie. It's very rare for me to watch a movie and even think about if it should be cut or not. When I do, I feel like I am recognizing a really meta problem, and that it's something that could have used work, in my opinion. I did think that the biker gang sequence could have been cut a lot, and it would have been more intense, and it would have felt less tedious. I think they blew so much of their budget on that really fascinating sequence that they felt like they had to put it in.
Actually,
but less is more.
Actually, now that you put it, I think I would cut the scene where, oh, you know, I gotta check my blood pressure.
Yeah.
More than once during the gunfight. It's like, what are you doing? I gotta check my blood pressure.
Into a horde of zombies to do it and just accepted death. That was up there with the gas scene in Night of the Living Dead.
Your blood pressure is zero.
Yeah, I think that was the only thing that made it maybe worth it. But, oh man. So yeah, it's like there were moments in the film where I think I understand. I don't know how all the cuts differ from one another. We watched the one that Romero vouched for, and there are moments where the score is very goofy. There are moments where it is very playful. And then what makes all of that work is the balance. They balance that out with long establishing shots that are quiet and ominous,
mm-hmm.
of just the survivors sitting and thinking and talking and preparing. That made this gritty. It felt real and grounded. That's what this movie lived on. If it was all that, it wouldn't be great. If it was all the goofy stuff, I don't think I could enjoy it. The balance was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was only in that last all-out war scene where it really felt tedious and very theatrical, which felt like it was kind of betraying itself a tiny bit. And all that to say, I'm only even bring this up because we critique movies here and talk about why we love them. This film was amazing.
Mm.
Like, I enjoyed it in a way that I don't normally enjoy these types of films.
Yeah.
The idea of March of the Dead, there's a little bit of dread in my mind when we first did this, because it's like I feel like I'm still fatigued from zombies years later, after all of that craze. But these films really make it worthwhile. Like, I can sit and enjoy them and appreciate them.
Do you feel revitalized a little bit? Just a little bit more revigorated?
No. I love these ones. I like watching these ones. And there are exciting things that happen. Like Last of Us had a kind of fresh take on it. And It Comes at Night. Like, there are really fresh, exciting takes on the genre, but I cannot stand anything that comes even close to the same survivor stories or the same stories that think they're really being really deep and innovative, but it's only the people who are the real threat. I'm done with that. We've done that all the time. I don't need it anymore. Let's explore new territory.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, so few things come up again like 28 Days Later, which to me is the distilled perfect zombie film. I can't imagine anything ever coming close to it. It's so good.
So,
and then in very close second are these two films that we just watched.
I already like prefaced some of my issues with the film during the viewing of the Dawn of the Dead on our YouTube channel. You can check that out at Black Lagoon Network. And the soundtrack, there wasn't really necessarily a go-to theme that made you think, oh, Dawn of the Dead, as soon as you like heard the music hit your ears. There was a lot of unnecessary synth scenes that just didn't need to be there. But so some of my favorite parts were mostly like when they were turning on all the lights and the radio on, in the mall.
Oh yeah.
Like I thought that was very silly, but it brought me back to Dead Rising, which also kind of had this silly mall music playing in the background with all these zombies. So it's got this silly childish layer underneath, or more above the dark foreboding center that is Dawn of the Dead.
And it's dark. Some of the scenes, you would be shocked at how dark they really are. Like unloading an automatic weapon into two children. Like, but it never feels that dark because it does have that goofy surface. And that was like really well done because it really did wrestle with pitch black depravity. But it never entirely felt like it. It was always a fun movie.
Yeah.
And that's very watchable. They knew they were making a movie for more than just horror fans. And it was very well done. And you're right, the synth did get very goofy. You can do wonderful things with synth. You can. This was goofy. It wasn't very thematic. It didn't have like a recognizable theme. And it's not like any modern movies really have like recognizable themes anymore. But this definitely felt like it lacked cohesion. Like it would go from ominous sounds of like the jungle and screeching animals in that shop. And then just like really goofy synth. And where it won, where it absolutely won, was in those satirical sequences like you were talking about. Where we had this goofy music playing and the zombies were literally just being dumb and like bumping into stuff and into each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a film brimming with character, brimming with it. You don't need this ominous, dark everything. Everything's so sad and horrible. It was brimming with so much character. Those scenes brought it out. And the soundtrack was totally justified in that case, right? But there were multiple moments where both of us were worn down. And we kept being like, okay, it's the 70s. And then at one point we're like, no, this is bad. This song especially is not good. And then, you know, we were ground into having this opinion. So
yet again, we have a dumb damsel in distress archetype
really
again.
Really disappointing.
Which, you know, okay. She's there, but she has her moments. She has her moments where,
she has a moment and then she cooks for them for the rest of the movie.
What was it? The moment that she had, it was a moment, ladies and gentlemen, it was a moment that she had, and it is fleeting from my brain.
There was one where she essentially talks to them and says, you guys think we're doing so well. We're in a prison, and she sees it before they do.
Yeah.
And then she goes back to cooking for them and being the object of one's admiration and then being
pregnant. She was talking about how, I'm not going to be your den mother. This isn't good. Like, I want to be a part of the crew. Like, I want to be a part of the boys, you know?
She wasn't able to do.
Yep. Because, men. men know what they're doing. Men hunt. You build fire. You cook.
So I feel like the revisionist, like, I feel like fandom is a really dangerous thing because it makes you just, like, blindly bow down to everything anyone makes. Mm-hmm. I feel like the revisionist take on this movie by superfans who are, like, bowing to Romero's altar all the time would be, it was a message about how women want more and they don't get it because men get in the way. It was not. This was the second movie where somebody actively made a character, a woman character, as dumb and burdensome as possible.
Yeah.
This time she had two moments, but it was an active thing where the writers sat down and literally made her gone out of their way to be as burdensome and in the way as possible, which even apart from that being just kind of stupid, it was annoying. Like, that's where I'm coming. Like, it was kind of annoying as a viewer for it to happen all the time.
And not just being a damsel in distress, I also think that she was put there to talk about abortion, which, you know, it's a very sensitive subject to talk about.
And you earn those things in movies, yeah, right? Like, when you want to bring up a topic like that, you have to earn it. And this movie really mentioned it once, dropped it.
It doesn't feel earned whatsoever. Like, you, oh, she's pregnant. Well, she's sitting there with a stogie in her hand, smoking a cigarette, drinking alcohol. And I'm sure back in those days, it wasn't really prefaced that smoking could lead to deformities, drinking can lead to deformities. Yeah, the whole I'm thinking about aborting it was just kind of out of nowhere. And the whole scene with her throwing flares at a zombie in a room full of non-perishable foods.
Yeah.
You almost burnt all of that because of your fucking stupidity.
Right. And, like, they, again, it is actively making her a fool. And it felt so annoying. And just, like, what is your goal here? This is just dumb. Like, this movie can be so much more than this. And it just, like, normally, like, you see that stuff in older movies, but it's so subtle. It's just like, all right, this is just a dumb cultural thing, and you haven't gotten over it yet. This film is just weird in how focused it is on this. It's the second one. They're so focused on this. It's just kind of astounding to me to watch. So, yeah, she did have her moments, probably to quiet people down who were watching it. But, again, none of them were followed through on. And this isn't even coming from any indignant anything here. This is literally just like, it was an annoying film mechanic, period. Even just from being like people on a podcast who talk about films, I want the best for the movies. That isn't even an exciting way to make a movie. You know, there are other ways to introduce risk, and they did that to great effect. Yeah. The zombies are just these docile, dumb things, and then they gang up on you, and you realize power. They are powerful. One dumb move, you're out. You know, and that was just a part of this movie I couldn't fully get past, and that was like that night too. And I am now excited to see this evolve as we go through the next few movies, because it's another thread that we get to watch move.
I cannot wait to show you my favorite in the series.
I can't wait to see it. I don't even know which one it is, so that'll be fun.
Which is going to be the next up and coming next week.
I do. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely stay tuned for that. I don't know. I felt it. Like Flyboy, you know, he knows how to fly the helicopter, and then as soon as he teaches Damsel in Distress how to fly, you know he's gonna die because his usefulness is out the window.
That really worked for me too. I like, it was a moment where I knew what was happening, but it was like, oh, that's good, because I thought he was this worthless character the whole time. They make you actively hate him. And then he slowly starts getting better at stuff, but not entirely, but he's better. Like, you can tell he's picking up his burden after the other guy died, even though he isn't still perfect.
Yeah.
And he teaches her how to fly, so now when we lose him, it actually means something.
Yeah.
That's a novel concept to a lot of zombie films that would follow. Like, when someone dies, you should be like, oh, no, not, okay, thank God, the annoying one died first, you know? So by the time he is slowly dead, it's like, oh, there he is. I like that. That was pretty cool.
I think the whole intro of how the movie starts is also really fucking awesome.
It feels like a different movie, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It just does, like, a complete tonal shift from the beginning to, like, the middle. It's so just out of nowhere. And, you know, seeing the whole gang fight between the police and these gangsters, and racial slurs being thrown everywhere, and
it did seem like they were just trying to show, even before, quote unquote, before it really starts happening, the zombies, people are still scumbags.
That's
what I pulled out of that, and that might be a favorable way of looking at this movie that just for some reason wanted to have, like, organized crime in the beginning. But it did feel like the idea was, we were bad before and we're still bad now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, For sure, yeah. That whole exploding of the head was just...
so dark. Oof. So dark. An unarmed, like, dad in an apartment, and that maniac just blows his head off. Very, very dark. And that's, yeah. Like, the movie never feels like it doesn't sink in, and then you think back to what happened in it, and you're like, wow, this must have really horrified people when it came out.
Very ahead of its time. I guess we can all say that we could relate to this movie now.
Sure.
The entire film, mm-hmm. especially with what's going on right now.
It's hard to avoid, like, there are, I know, okay, you're talking about something else than I am. It's hard to avoid the fact that there are themes that feel really weirdly prescient.
Oh, no, I'm not just making a joke. I'm like both, both yes and no. Yeah, right. Yeah. I got it. Oh, God.
Some things I am personally not warranted to really discuss in any depth, but it was really interesting to watch this film and be like, wow, this is going to get a second viewing, I think. Maybe it already has, and I think people are going to be like, this is maybe not dealing with this right, or it is dealing with it right. I'm kind of curious to see what that conversation would be like.
I'm kind of curious to see what George Romero would say if he was still alive to this day.
Right. Just definitely.
Get the Necronomicon and rise him from his grave.
Oh, boy.
So, Mr. Romero, what do you think about the whole virus situation?
We brought him back from the dead, but now he's a dumb zombie who holds guns backwards.
It came full circle. Look at you, you're a trope now, Mr. Romero.
There we go.
Okay, so I guess that's it for the guts.
I'm missing here?
Had our fill.
I think so too. All right, let's move on to the eulogy.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. May God be with this young man's soul. And may Rod Lane rest in peace.
Out of the Dead, 1978. What an amazing film. Such a slap in the face. It's like looking in a mirror.
Just cryptic and worrisome, Nick.
Yeah. So, we're gonna put this movie to rest.
Uh-oh.
We're gonna just shoot it in the head. We're gonna shoot it in the head. Yep.
There's no debate there. We shoot it in the head, and what are we putting it to rest with? Shooting it with. I say that Moog synthesizer, look, it can be great. Brian Eno, right? Harold Budd, right? John Carpenter. Step away from the thing. If you don't know how to use it, man, it can be a nightmare. So I say we take that thing out with him.
I'm going to say a fat stack of cash.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of having money in the zombie apocalypse?
Always a fun little thing for a zombie movie.
Those two little kids.
Who looked like they had the time of their life. I know there are some people who were like, this movie is from hell. And it's like, no, they gave those kids the time of their life. They got to run and jump all over that guy and then flail on the couch. They went home smiling. You know, they were not.
There was a lot of kids in that movie that just had a fucking smile on their face.
Yep. They're like, this is so cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, there's that. We are now ready.
Are you getting
voices over there?
Oh my God, I am, Brian. They sound like the voices beyond the grave.
Yeah, this never happens.
Well, sometimes death is better.
Whoops, that's wrong. That's my inaccurate synopsis.
Ah.
Let me pull it up. Okay. So this one is from Kerbis 007. This was posted on the 1st of July in 2005. Gave it 3 stars and titled it, "This reminds me of the time that milk came out of my nose while laughing at how bad this movie was."
Interesting.
I picked it because it kind of reminded me of, like, not even, like, 20 seconds before we started recording. You made me spew water everywhere.
And probably inhale it. And yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. Where shall I begin? Firstly, I would like to lead this off by saying that I do own this movie. Even though I rate it as a 3 out of 10, I still own this movie.
Okay.
The only reason I did happen to go buy this movie is because it makes me laugh so hard. It makes me hurt my spleen. Despite the fact that a lot of people have been saying this movie is a masterpiece because of all the social commentaries and other artistic things like that, this movie was just plain bad. Just because you make a pale blue shaded Harry Crenshaw, or however you spell it, try to eat someone, it doesn't make the movie a masterpiece.
So I get where his anger is coming from. I do think there is, fandom is a real thing, and I'm surprised we haven't talked about it that much in our show's lifetime. There are people who, just on the basis of liking that they like something, mm-hmm. will make decisions about how godly something is. And and movies are not perfect, and if you let fandom and just like the idea of like your personality meshes with something, conflate that thing with like supernatural powers or supernatural goodness, you get into some issues where people are like just blindly love everything and refuse to accept any criticism of it. And that's a dangerous thing to do. So I get where he's coming from, but I definitely don't think this movie is loved for its cultural commentary. I don't think so. I think it's a stretch to say that it has that much. And the type that it does have, I doubt is even that deep or nuanced or poignant. You know, like, it's a nice touch, but I do not think this is some art house film that's being hailed for its commentary.
I think that people like this movie for the, what's it called? What's the word called? The area of a place,
what you mean, like, location?
Yeah, the location, the...
Oh, the exciting, yeah, the exciting idea of the mall.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think a lot of people talk about, oh, where would you go if a zombie apocalypse were to happen?
That's the
like,
fun.
Oh, I'd take over a mall, just like in mm-hmm. Dawn of the Dead, and, you know, secure every single door and make sure everything is all right, and, you know, I'll stash all this food away. And
that does seem to be the fun of it, right? It's this idea of like, here's what it would look like if you did this thing. And it's a fun, good zombie movie with like mm-hmm. interesting plot dynamics. And like, it doesn't have to be like, I don't know. I get where he's coming from. It can be really disillusioning if all of your friends are really caught up in this like fandom machine about how flawless the movie is.
Yeah.
And you go watch it for all this depth. And it's like, I did not see it. I didn't see it. And I don't think it's a matter of me missing it. You know, that can be disillusioning. So I think that might be where he's coming from. So as always, I think I kind of get it. I do get it. I kind of feel that way in a tiny bit. But
yeah.
I don't think you can be distracted from how good so much of this movie was, if you're looking at it on the right scale, right?
I think you're getting some voices too, Brian.
I might be. Oh, it's... Hold on. God, this guy will not leave me alone. Roger Ebert. Here's what he says. Here is an abridged version of his review. He writes long, wonderful reviews that are very fun and very good. This is, again, all sliced up. So, Dawn of the Dead, plot twist, is one of the best horror films ever made, Ebert. And as an inescapable result, one of the most horrifying. It is gruesome, sickening, disgusting, violent, brutal, and appalling. It is also, and excuse me for a second while I find my other list, brilliantly crafted, funny, droll, and savagely merciless in a satiric view of the American consumer society. He got it. Nobody ever said that art had to be in good taste. Love that line. Wonderful way of saying, yeah, you can watch it and it's goofy, but who said art has to be in good taste? Perfect. If you have seen Night, then you will recall it as a terrifying horror film, punctuated by such shocking imagery as zombies tearing human flesh from limbs. Dawn includes many more scenes like that, more graphic, more shocking, and in color. I am being rather blunt about this because there are many people who will not want to see this film. You know who you are. Why are you still reading this? The depravity is in the healthy survivors, and their true immorality comes as two bands of human survivors fight each other for the shopping center. Now look who's fighting over the bones. But the Dawn, is even more complicated than that, because the survivors have courage too, and a certain nobility at times, and a sense of humor, and loneliness, and dread, and are not altogether unlike ourselves. And he ends with a wonderful, aha, 4 out of 4 stars. He loved it. He loved this goofy consumer society movie.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it is. I totally get it. He looked past, this is coming from, again, the guys who really didn't understand slasher films. This version of a really violent serial murder, death after death after death film, he does get. It has that little bit, that little angle you can go on about, oh, consumer society. This does satisfy that part of his movie critic, you know? Now he can appreciate the artistry of a horror film. So there's a lot there, right? I mean, this is a movie that succeeded in being a movie that you and I like, mm-hmm. that people in the upper echelons of horror criticism can like, and that the general public can like if they can stomach the brutality. And that is like the perfect place for a horror movie to become like a cult classic. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Go Ebert.
Now it's time. It's time, Brian.
What? For the
what final cut.
The final bite?
What? The final claw?
The final...
Pie?
Pie? There was pie in this movie. We did miss that.
The final and blood test?
A tomato. The final check my blood pressure in a horde?
The final cut.
Alright, tell me your rating of this movie.
Alright, so I think that I gave Night of the Living Dead a 7.5. I'm not sure. I think so. I'm going to have to say that with the way this movie went about, it was a lot more loose in its setting. It was much more open than Night of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead took place in one house and didn't really move that much, whereas this is taking place in a entire mall. And there's a lot of goofy scenes. There's a lot of intense scenes. I'm gonna have to give this movie an 8.5 out of 10 slashes. Nice. Because it's
very
just
cool.
I love the fact that, you know, it takes place in a mall. It's so freaking awesome. And yeah, definitely power definitely comes in the numbers when it comes to zombies. So they may be dumb and shambling, but one wrong move and you're fucked, and it just goes to show. But at the same time, the original ending was supposed to end on a very dark note.
Oh, they were supposed to talk about that.
Yeah, okay. They were supposed to all go out dead.
I might prefer it. I might prefer it.
Yeah, you might prefer that. But I kind of like the happier ending of Ken Foree and the blonde.
That is escaping. Unfortunately, that's not even Nick being cold. That is how she was written, which is unfair. It sucks. Yep. I hate that. Okay. Anyway. So, I don't remember what I gave Night of the Living Dead. I probably gave it an 8.5 or an 8. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Operating on that theory that I gave it an 8 or an 8.5, this film was wonderful. It was goofy. It wasn't scared to be goofy. It wasn't scared to be really ominous and dark and serious.
Gosh.
It's like a smoker goofy. It was wonderful.
Wow. Yeah.
After throwing back a few. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, there it is. Whew. All right. So in my, this is the bane of my existence, this section, you know that. It's hard for me to come up with
a
metric. So the first one I gave the rating it did because of how I gave Psycho a rating. It was a technical marvel. It was essentially perfect in every single way. And the subjective bit is what detracted points for it. That movie, wonderful, amazing. I loved it. This film, I can almost say all of that about it. I do not think it was perfect. I do not think it was a marvel. I am blown away by the creativity. I am blown away by the field day that these people had with one of the most fun ideas in zombie lore. this movie is fun and it's really dark, and it tries to hide that fact from you until you're done watching and you realize, whoa, all of that really happened in this movie? Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I loved it. It's great. It's not my... It doesn't, to me, contest with Night, but it's really good and it's really close, and I think I give it a 7.75 out of 10.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's just, again, just imagine how much they had to fucking clean up.
Oh my God.
And you had to give, you had the audacity, audacity, the gall to give them a 7.75.
I give the cleanup crew a solid 10 out of 10. I am so sorry that you got probably minimum wage to do more work than the people who wrote this film.
Oh God. So yeah. That was our overall thoughts on George Romero's Dawn of the Dead.
And you'd think by the time we did this many episodes, we'd have like our exit down, but we don't. And we don't know how to end these episodes.
We never
do. You know what's always true? We appreciate you if you are watching this, listening to it. Anything, if you're, look, whether you're opening up your wallets, putting down your credit card, and typing that into Patreon or not, we appreciate you. Thank you. But you should do that thing that I just said.
Or donating.
But either
on
way,
Anchor.
We appreciate. Yeah, if you're, you know, opening up your password manager to check out what your PayPal stuff is, and you're like opening up Anchor, and we if you don't, we still appreciate you. But if you're doing that thing, you are the object of our utmost love and admiration. And
we'll kiss
you.
Your feet.
We will. Do, I mean, yeah, both of us. Both feet. No foot will go unkissed. No foot.
So, if you guys want to watch us watch the movies that we cover on here, you can go to Black Lagoon Network.
Yes.
We're on YouTube. And, yeah, it's a fun blast making these reaction videos. So, definitely stay tuned for our next iteration of March of the Dead Marathon, yes, where we will be covering Day of the Dead, the third installment in the Dead trilogy. Or, well, I guess Land of the Dead was the fourth installment in the saga, which I don't know if we're going to talk about this year. I don't even know if we're even going to talk about it. yeah. So,
well, thank you for showing
up.
This has been a blast.
We love you.
We hope the best for you.
And we
and
will
we
see
hope
you.
To see you in the next episode. Mm-hmm. Let's say it together, Nick. We hope to see you.
We hope to see you in the next episode.
Next episode.
I can't.
It's hard to do together. It's
one,
tough.
Two, three. We hope to see you, in,
to
the
see you in
the next
episode. It felt like I was doing it on time, but I think the Wi-Fi is going to. It's okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, bye.